here in the room, just being as quiet as I can. I'm so excited to be on the show. So excited. Oh my God. Welcome to Smartless.
Smartless.
So Will's got a different background because he's out of the country, specifically our northern brother or sister.
Yeah.
We may have talked about this before, but when you go home, do you sleep in this
your parents' bed
room?
I sleep with my parents. Because I always, it gave me comfort to get in between them. So I still
Mommy, Daddy, cuddles?
Yeah. No, I don't stay here. I don't stay here.
Settle me.
Could you ever live there again?
In Toronto?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I could.
Will, do you have a second piece of gum you could put in your mouth for the record? Just to get
this
it in stereo?
I know. Yeah. I just realized.
That'd be great. Yeah, let's go ahead. And thank you.
So we're recording now, you're saying?
Yeah, it's an audio medium.
It is an audio. Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. Toronto is very, it's a great city and I could live here. And there's so much stuff I love about it. The problem is it's very gray from like November to June.
It's Chicago. It's basically Chicago.
I think it's grayer. I think you get more gray days. It's just where it sits between the Great Lakes, et cetera. We don't want to get into Ontario weather patterns, but it is gray. Otherwise, it's awesome.
So you think that that would make you somewhat blue, kind of like what people talk about in England and stuff like that? I don't know.
I think I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's cozy. So cozy, right? Yeah.
But you know, in England, it rains and stuff, but you do get sunny days. Toronto, it's not even that it gets a lot of rain. It's that it gets a lot of cloud cover. Specifically, and I think at a certain point you just you know, it's reminding me once I had this dream.
You do have the maple leaves there though, so doesn't that offset it a bit?
I do have the maple leaves here. I'm really excited.
You're in town for some hockey, right?
Yeah, I'm in town. Yeah, this is going to come out way after, but I'm in town for the All-Star game. I had a great night dinner last night with some of the boys from a hockey podcast called Spit and Chicklets.
Sure, is that right? Yeah. Eh?
Oh yeah, with Biz and Ryan Whitney and the boys. And
Spit
and Chicklets.
And it was so super fun, interesting dudes, really really funny. We had a lot of big laughs.
Yeah. That's fun.
Well, that's going to be fun for you taking part in that All-Star weekend, right? Aren't you managing a team with Connor McDavid?
I am. I'm like the celebrity co-captain.
Yeah.
Guys, I can't wait to talk to our guest today. I can't wait for you to talk to our guest today. He's considered one of the finest actors of his generation.
Way to shoehorn that in, Sean. I can't.
Listener, he's holding up a shoehorn. Okay. Don't worry.
My dad's got two on his desk.
Smell them.
Why two?
By the way.
I'm sorry. Cut it.
Why do you have those? Can't you just use your finger?
How many times have we said that?
Ask my dad. I'll get my dad in here. He's got two. All right, sorry.
Sorry, guest.
Rego. Listen, I'm not trying to highlight whatever his stuff is on his desk.
Nice.
Guys,
build up a highlighter.
I've turned up like Carrot Top.
He's so giddy that he's at home. He turns small.
I know.
He just feels comfortable, doesn't he?
Still holding his teddy bear.
I do. Yeah.
Anyway, here we go. Let's not keep him waiting any longer. He's very busy, and he's a huge, major global star. And don't worry, he's much younger than us. He's not just a Hollywood royal. But he legitimately comes from, and I did not know this, real Swedish nobility. It's true.
Oh, whoa.
A man of many talents. He's fluent in French, like Will. He's musically inclined, like me, and loves to cook, not like Jason. He even made an appearance once making pasta with Mario Batali on Food Network's Molto Mario. It's my favorite just on screen homosexual, the brilliant Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal. Hello, Jake.
Hi.
Oh, it's been a long time.
Jake-ula Gyllenhaal.
There he is.
Oh, you have the whole name.
I don't know if what.
Is it really? Is Jake-ula the long version?
It's Jake-ula, yeah.
No.
Count Jake-ula?
You know, Jake, you probably heard this before, but I have so much trouble spelling your name that in the Google search, I just put GY and it comes up.
Yeah,
it's easy like that.
Well, Jake, wait, do we still live near each other? Where are you at?
We don't. I mean, I moved to New York.
You lucky man.
Oh,
you lucky man. Didn't we go up, what was the name of that dog? Runyon?
Yeah, we.
Jake is a world class bicyclist.
Is it, are you really?
Should come as no surprise to anyone who's seen his silhouette.
Yeah, have you guys known each other because you both grew up here and.
No, how did we get to know one another? I mean, we did live near one another. We had some mutual friends. We hung out for a bit. We did some bike riding for a bit, and then I gassed. Jake kept going, and I think
you're one of the best descenders that I've ever.
I could get into a tuck.
That is the world's greatest backhanded compliment I've ever heard. Nobody goes down a hill like you.
There are circles where that's a very positive thing, you know?
And yeah, we're not in one.
That's really funny.
Are you able to bike in New York? No, there's not as many bike riding opportunities, right? You're doing something different?
Yeah. I mean,
everybody bikes in New York.
Yeah, you can ride bikes in New York. You can ride along the West Side Highway and then up the West Side Highway pretty far.
I'd be scared too, though, because of the traffic and people
and
driving
the potholes,
like crazy.
Right? Their roads are all torn to shit for the
weather. I always rode my bike. That's how I got around.
No, but not these kinds of bikes. These kinds of bikes are like, you know.
Oh,
like
no. I rode
sports car level performance tires. Yeah. And you go over one little bump and they'll pop.
There's sometimes where like my friends would go in the Central Park, right? And then you take the West Side Highway and then you'd have to cut in. And when you cut in, that's when you have to deal with about probably, I don't know, 15 blocks of pretty heavy traffic because it's the center of Manhattan. And then you get into Central Park and you do the loops. It's still crazy there too because depending on the time, there's all these people walking, crossing and all that stuff.
Yeah, people.
Tricycles and wagons.
Even on the weekend,
stuff.
Yeah, when they shut down the roads and stuff, you got like a million ding-dongs and everybody's like tripping on acid for the first time in their life. And they're like, let's go trip on acid in Central Park. That's where I did it.
I'd give anything to hang out with a million ding-dongs. Yeah.
I know you would. Oh, Sean, let's take a
minute. Like a ball pit. Well, Sean, now if you could fill a ball pit with any snack, what would it be?
Oh, my God.
If you could fill a ball pit with any snack, what would it be?
Just ask the great descender.
Spaghetti.
Old snacky descender wants to know what you'd fill your ball pit with.
Jake, what I was going to ask you was, because we're talking about cycling, like high level, like not just, I used to ride my bike, but I like had a beat up piece of shit and not doing it for like necessarily to get in shape. And it occurs to me, obviously, I've seen so many promos for your new movie where you look like you're going to fucking beat the whole world up, Roadhouse, and it's unbelievable.
It looks amazing.
It's unbelievable.
And that's not the first time he's been fucking stacked.
Well, this is what I was going to say.
Hang on, himself tight.
I've seen you in shape before in other things, and every time I have like nothing but envy, I'm like, this motherfucker looks so good.
Yeah.
Then what occurs to me is like, now we're talking about cycling. Have you always been into fitness your whole life? Forget getting in shape for the movie and being a super ripped fighter and crazy. Have you always been into exercising, staying mobile, playing sports, doing that shit?
Yeah, always. I mean, my dad.
Really?
Yeah, my dad was super athletic. He still is. He would wake me up in the morning doing yoga in front of my bed.
Oh boy!
And then he'd be like, "Let's go for a run."
Hey, Dad, can you turn the down dog just 180 for me when I get up, please? I don't want to be bulldogged right when I get out of bed.
Bulldogged.
It's a technique of waking one up.
Yeah,
but like it was definitely bulldog. it was.
Oh my God.
It was always perpendicular. FYI.
He's a kind guy.
I didn't have a lot of space in the front of the bed from the room as growing up, so he used what he had. But he would wake me up and we'd run, and he was always very physical. And he always sort of would, like, I remember we'd do like maybe a mile and a half run when I was a kid, and he was always so encouraging. And then by the time we got to the end of the last block, he would always be like, "You got it. This hurts me. You got to run. You got to sprint. Like, sprint this last block." And we'd run, and then we'd run up the driveway. Remember the driveway? We just like, I'd be dying. He'd be like, "Go, go, go!" He'd always let me win. And so,
nice.
Wow,
interesting.
Yeah,
we have this about it. Sean, guess that Sean's dad was really good at running too.
He just tried to do it before Sean got up, and it would be in a car.
It was just one direction.
It would be descending.
Yeah.
He was just running, running away. Sorry,
No, that's interesting. I used to run with my dad every single morning, too. And then I got
old. Did you really?
Yeah. He'd wake me up every single morning, and then I got old enough where
you know Kent?
Yeah, and I'd start to sort of like complain when he'd wake me up and start to say, "No, I'm going to sleep in this morning." And I was old enough where he'd say, "Well, all right, goodbye." And then so it stopped for a while. But then like everything you learned from your parents, you end up revisiting it and absorbing it when you're older. Like now I run every day and I listen to classical music every day and I'm becoming my father, which is
great.
That's
so interesting.
You know, my oldest brother, because I didn't
have the opposite of interesting?
Sorry. I was going to actually say that's sort of like a preface to what I was going to say, but then I just stopped, and then when it stopped, I was like, oh, that sounded like
it's boring.
That was definitely not interesting.
I got the boring handle. I got you.
Because I was going to say it's interesting because my dad loves classical music and likes to exercise too. So there you go.
We should hook them up.
We should.
That's wild.
We absolutely should.
Sorry, I asked that just not related at all to what we're talking about.
No.
Go ahead, Sean. You had a question.
No, I was just going to say my brother used to wake me up at like 4 in the morning just to work on my legs because I was so skinny.
Yeah. Oh.
So Jake,
like squats and stuff.
Just legs.
Wait, at four in the morning.
Just legs.
I'm sorry. Yeah, just
every
legs.
Morning. Just legs.
Can we get another shot at that sentence? Can we just start again? Can we?
It's true.
That's like not okay.
I know. I was exhausted
every day.
What do you
every
mean? Day.
Just legs. Okay, so
what are you talking about?
I want to know this thing. And by the way, I'm going to ask all the boys.
Yeah, you'd have them do squats in the middle of the night. By the way, have you seen Sean's biceps lately? I mean, this is honest. I gave his little arm a squeeze. Sunday? It's almost as big as yours. He's stacked.
Really?
Sean is like crazy built. Well,
I worked out a ton.
That's interesting.
People could because I'm in the Gyllenhaal category. A lot of people call me JG on the side. But Sean, are you lifting?
Yeah,
he's really big.
I worked out for 20 years, like really hard. And then I was just, now I'm exhausted. Now I just eat. Look, I have a bunch of questions for Jake Gyllenhaal.
Go, please.
Sorry you don't want to talk about your physique.
No, so Jake, I'm going to ask you boring questions that I'm sure you've answered all before. But I did not know this thing about the nobility Swedish thing. What's going on with that?
I don't really know. I don't know. It's a pretty convoluted story that I've been told too, and then I've heard. I'm a descendant from some form of Swedish nobility there. That's about all.
Your great-great-grandfather was
Did you find this out doing one of the heritage tests?
No, I've known it. We have like a coat of arms, you know, like.
What?
We have like a coat of arms and.
That's
cool. But I don't think he was really, I've done a little bit of digging. For a long time, I thought that he was a king, you know, like the descendant. I was descended from like that kind of royalty.
Right.
But more and more, as I did research, I realized that it was, he was like a cataloger and collector of beetles. And he worked for
really?
Yeah, I think so. I may be
like a boy,
like a hoarder, or?
Yeah, sort of a form of hoarder. No, I mean he collected them. He pinned them. You know, he was like a those beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, those things that they do. But he was a scientist, I guess, and then he was like knighted for his scientific work. Yeah. And then I think that's how. Oh, that's
now, nice. How much time have you spent there in Sweden? Anything at all?
I have never been to Sweden.
Excellent. No.
What?
Yeah. I have never
been
to Sweden.
Do you have any desire to?
It's great.
I do. I'd want to go there for Christmas.
I've been a few times.
And it's amazing, right?
It's amazing. It's incredible.
Do you have family there, Jake?
I have extended family there, but I don't know them. There was a man named Herman Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Who actually I met, who came over from Sweden that was in contact with my dad.
This is not the bug man.
It's not the bug man, but he is a descendant of the bug.
Yeah,
and he came and visited us, and he was the one who tried to bring us all together, Americans and Swedish Gyllenhaals.
I have some distant family in England that I haven't seen since I was a tiny tiny kid, and others that I've never even met, and I feel guilty about that, I think, but then it's also like there would be. If you went down that lane, there would be hundreds potentially of people that you are somewhat related to that you have not yet met. And how do you guys feel about that?
Well, I was going to say, and I don't, you know, I want you to take this the right way.
Here it comes.
No, I do. But if you think about it, you're a person who's in the public eye. And so obviously they probably know who you are, especially if they share your name. They could get in touch with you if they wanted to.
Oh, and they have.
I have to agree
so
with that.
So it's on them. Thank you. Transferring guilt.
Yeah.
Sean, moving forward.
Sean, real question. What do you think your dad's new name is?
Can we talk about what a great Descender Jason is for a second? Because I feel like we moved off that. I really feel like we should go back to that. Yeah. I just want to, I actually do have a compliment here. And it's
I want to say
that, like, I was so profound. It is scary to go down a hill really fast. It really is when you're on a bike. It's not like, it's not for the faint of heart.
I can't believe
And
we're
I
going
realize
back
what a
bike.
Badass he is.
Yeah.
I just don't think I've ever fallen before. I think I just need to fall once and I'll be riding the
brakes. But I was like, this guy's nuts. Like, you were going so fast. I remember just being like, whoa, he's gone. Like, no concept
of speed. Are you going down like Loma Vista? Are you going down Cole?
No, like Mulholland. We went down Mulholland. I remember there were cars. It was crazy. You were just like,
oh, that's right. Right
later.
By the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
Right.
I was like, it was crazy. It was so fast. It was so dangerous. And I was deeply impressed. I really was.
But you know what? You know what's scary? I know a few guys. I sound like Sean. I know a few guys who got really into cycling, including my brother-in-law Eddie and a couple other guys I know who got severely injured doing super. Like,
well,
like,
and
really,
that's why, Jay. Correct me if I'm wrong. That's why one shaves their legs, right? In anticipation of the inevitability.
How does that stop your head from getting crushed?
You mean generally? That's why anyone shaves their legs, or you mean for
no bicyclists? Because you are going to you're going to fall.
That's an interesting theory.
You're going to fall, and you're going to slide across the asphalt. And if you don't have any hair on your legs or arms, the skin does not ball up as much, and cleaning it becomes less painful. That's correct, right?
I've heard a lot of things. I think that's true. I also think, like, I mean, being aerodynamic, which is sort of a weird thing, but I think there are a lot of superstitions. Like, I've heard superstitions from cyclists who are like, they're allowed to eat cheese, but it can't be melted because it has like more calories or something. I don't know.
Really?
There's all these weird things.
Wow.
So I don't know. I mean, but I do think also if you're going to wear spandex that tight, like, you know, you don't want to have like hair pants. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. You mean the hair coming through the spandex? Yeah, not a good look.
And also just like hair pants. Like, it's just like spandex and hair. You know what I mean?
Right,
maybe
right.
That's something, you know?
Yeah.
But yes, the scab thing is true.
I thought it was excessive, Jay, because I remember you talking when you first got it, but I thought it was excessive when you started getting Brazilians as well, because I was like, how is this helping?
And I saw that when you were descending, and I was like, that was not necessary.
I can go ahead and ride the saddle. Yeah, I don't need to arch and
like,
offer.
I saw that.
No.
Because right as you sped off into literally like warp speed, I was like, what? Well, that was.
You don't know how you're going to land. You don't know what's going to hit the pavement first.
And who's going to see what.
Right. Needless to say, I'm no longer on the bike. I've sold the bike, Jake. I'm embarrassed to say, but I still have a huge drawer full of the funny outfits that I'm happy to sell to you on a very, very fair rate.
Jake, I want to know about you growing
Jake,
up.
Jake, are you the right size? Would you fit into an old man's extra small?
I did invite Jason just this year to a bike trip, actually. I like reached out to you and invited you to a bike trip.
It sounded very, very, very good.
Can you say where you went?
This was overseas, wasn't it?
Yeah. I went to the Alps. Yeah, went to the I was in the Pyrenees. Yeah, we climbed the Alpe d'Huez, we climbed the Glibier, we climbed Mount Ventoux, we did this crazy...
This
Six
guy's a specimen,
trip.
You guys.
Yeah,
wait. You went to the Pyrenees. You didn't go to Andorra, did you? It's the one place I want to go is Andorra.
Yeah, and I mean, we crossed over the Pyrenees and we were in Provence, and then we climbed. The last climb we did was Mount Ventoux, which is like, I think it's about 2,100 kilometers,
exhausting.
And then it's like 11% incline the whole time, which was one of the most physically challenging things I've ever done, and also such a incredible experience. And really, like, it was... Yeah, it's sort of inexplicable. Speaking of like tripping, by the end you're just pushing to the
euphoria.
Yeah.
And did you make it? Did you make it okay? Like comfortably? Did you throw up afterwards? Was your saddle aching?
I the first one we did out the Alpe d'Huez, I've ridden before once before. But I rode it like maybe 15 years ago, and I had been working, so I hadn't been riding my bike a whole lot, but I had assumed that I'd be like, okay, right. I kind of know. And one of the things that I think is really important is more mental, like how much pain can you handle, really,
right.
That like, and so I was like, oh, okay, I'll be fine, right? And when I arrived, we had like guides. We had two guys, ex-pros. They were great guys. And then my good friend was with me. And he had been training like secretly. And I had been trying to get on a Peloton like for...
Right.
I'd just been like desperately trying. I hadn't been on a bike. I was just like, for a week, I was like, I'm just going to go really hard on Peloton. I'll be fine.
Not applicable.
When I arrived off the train in France, the two ex-pros looked at my friend. They're like, well, you're ready. And I was like, wait, what? And so the Alpe d'Huez, we got up there and I bonked halfway up the Alpe d'Huez. Like,
I mean, you just ran out of gas?
I just ran out of gas because you can't, like, what happens is your body just can't, you just run out of glucose.
Oh.
And we will be right back.
SmartLess gets support from CarShield. Many of us spend a good chunk of time in the car, whether you're driving to work or planning a fun road trip with friends. You want to make sure your car is in top shape to handle any drive. But if you have been in the same car for years, you might worry about future breakdowns. Don't let the stress of paperwork or headaches of repairs keep you from getting where you need to be. With CarShield, all you need to do is give them a call, choose the mechanic, and they handle the rest. CarShield plans provide protection on up to 5,000 major parts and systems, including big ticket items like your transmission, engine, and even your entertainment system. Plus, plans include exclusive access to CarShield's concierge service, as well as 24/7 roadside assistance and help with flat or damaged tires, lockouts, and rental car options. With CarShield, road trips have never been easier. Avoid the hassle of costly car repairs with CarShield. Visit carshield.com/smartless and save 20% today. Again, that's carshield.com/smartless to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/smartless to lock in your price today.
This episode of SmartLess is brought to you in part by Skinny Pop Popcorn. Looking for some excitement? Well, do that on your own time. But in the meantime, check out Skinny Pop's new Cheddar Jalapeno Popcorn. Made with real cheddar cheese and a pop of jalapeno, this new flavor is sure to spice up your daily snacking routine. Mm. Listen, I love Skinny Pop Popcorn. And look, I request, this is actually a true thing. You know, sometimes when you're going out on a job in the line of work I'm in, which is obviously entertainment, and no, I don't work for the government in some super highly classified capacity. And I can't confirm and or deny anything. The point is this. They ask me if I want stuff when I'm at work, like as part of the my refreshment selection. And Skinny Pop Popcorn is always there. That is a true story. So Skinny Pop is light and tasty and perfect for any occasion, whether you're on the go, staving off boredom, or unwinding after a long day. A deliciously simple combination of popcorn, oil, and salt, every bite of their perfectly popped original popcorn leaves you wanting more. In addition to the original popcorn, Skinny Pop offers a variety of delicious flavors, ranging from white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle, all perfectly popped, endlessly delicious. Let me tell you something also. That salty kettle, forget it. Just forget it. You're going to be on a delicious ride to Fantastic Town. Shop Skinny Pop now. SmartLess is brought to you in part by Audible. Audible, it lets you enjoy all your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. And they offer an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. It just, the list is, I'm not going to say endless because that would be misleading, but it's long. Audible is your destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases and next listen recommendations for every type of thriller listener. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. I like to read quite a bit, and so I don't do a ton of listening to audiobooks, but when I do, I've done it a few times, and I've really enjoyed it. And one of the ones that I listened to on Audible was The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And here's a fun little addition. He narrates it himself. How about that? There's another one that I'll recommend for you to read, which is Heat 2. Remember Heat, the movie? You loved it. Well, Heat 2 came out as a book and narrated by my pal, the great Peter Giles. It's a fantastic listen. That's obviously, I listened to it because my buddy Pete Giles, but I tell you what, it is fantastic. New members can try Audible for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/smartless or text smartless to 500-500. That's audible.com/smartless or text smartless to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/smartless.
And now back to the show.
Have you ever ridden with Lance Armstrong?
Yes.
And how'd you do? Did you keep up?
No, I did not. No. I mean, like, when he wanted to let me keep up, I kept up.
Right.
I watched one of those doc series about the guys climbing the Alps that was on one of the streaming services last year.
And yeah, like, you told me to. Like, I watched that too.
Yeah, and I think like sort of 20 minutes less into the first one, I was like, motherfuck, this is hard. Yeah. Like, how the fuck
you, the one thing I don't understand, Jake, is why can't the seat be more comfortable? Why does it have to be so hard?
Yeah.
You know, because like you lose circulation. It's so hard and things just go numb and it's not comfortable. Like if it could just be a little pad or maybe like a shearling top, you know, like a sheepskin.
You can do that. You can do like anything that. You want. There's no like rules.
Jay, you should do a collab with Uggs. We can do a collab with Uggs, baby.
Ooh.
Some sort of a backrest maybe even. And
they have those too, man. Like you can do anything. There's no you're not like riding in the Tour de France.
I'm
you can do
a soft guy, you know.
Yeah, like or even like a something with an engine or like, you know, two seats and passengers, you know.
Or
like,
a rope that's connected to an engine. Yeah.
Let's just
an
go.
Engine.
It doesn't matter. Like that flies in the sky and takes you places fast.
Speaking of
like,
which, what about those e-bikes? Do you have one yet?
Are we going to talk for an hour about bikes?
No.
I have a thousand questions.
I know. Sean's like, I can see his face. He's like, oh my God, like, I asked I one question about his Swedish noble.
Enough of the bikes.
Did I buy an e-bike? I have bought an e-bike. Yes. And you know, there are e-bikes. Like if you want to come on the trip, any of you guys want to come, you're not going to come on the trip.
I'm not going.
If you want to come on the trip, no, for real. Like if you want to come. If you want to ride regular, you can ride like just without. But they also have e-bikes that are attached to like a heart rate. So you can choose your heart rate that you want to get to.
So if you want, and then stay at.
And the bike will keep you at that
What do you do about all, you just wear headphones to mute out the ridicule you're getting from the other riders?
Like, I am just desperately, I really want people to get on this trip and come because it's fun, but they don't believe it. You know, no one believes that they're fun
trips. I believe
that.
Where is it? Where is the trip?
Well, they change. Like, we're trying to find new cool places to...
Not Hancock Park, Sean. Okay, I'm sorry. He won't be there.
All right, Sean, let's hear some of these bitching questions.
Oh, finally. Jake, welcome to the show.
Jake has done a lot of theater, so Jake...
Hold on. Let me just... Hold on.
Yeah,
okay.
Reveal yourself.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Hey, Jake.
It's the Sean Hayes Show. Go ahead, Sean.
So I want to know about growing up and with your... Because I think it's fascinating that you come from a family... Your dad's a director. Your mom is this incredible writer. Your sister is also, like, it's all, you're all killing it. So it's like, I had dinner with your mom at a mutual lawyer friend's house a million years ago, and I was much younger then, and I hadn't really written anything yet, and I expressed to your mom, God, you know, I wish I was a better writer. It's just so overwhelming to me. And I remember this. I'll never forget it. She said, the hardest part of writing is starting. And your mom said that to me, and I still remember it.
No way.
Not that that's not, we hear that all the time, but I was the first time I ever heard anybody say it was from your mom. And so I took that, and I started writing, and I wrote scripts and whatever, but that was because of your mom.
Holy shit.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
You're going to lead with
My
that.
My mom will be actually so flattered by that.
What a memory. So it's just starting is the hard part? Is that... Fuck.
I was just going to ask
Sean. I hadn't heard that
before.
Sean,
I was going to ask, every time you start everything, you think about my mom?
Yeah, I mean, you can really apply it to anything,
I think.
Weird question, Sean.
No, it wasn't. It didn't even have a question mark on it.
No question.
This is how bad the Sean Hayes Show is.
I want to...
Thank you for listening to the Sean Hayes Show.
We just started and we ended.
Yeah.
Thank you, Naomi Foner.
No, you know what? I will say.
That's my mom's name, by the way.
I don't. Yeah. Wait, what's your mom's name?
Naomi Foner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. So she. Think about that. I will say, to Sean's credit, it is interesting to have something like that happen, and that something that sticks with you, and now you're on with the person, JB.
Yes.
It is mildly interesting. However, the way Sean said it was so fucking boring. So. It could have been interesting.
Will, you come on the bike cycling trip. We'll talk so much shit about Sean.
I'll talk shit about anybody.
Why? You don't have to go on a bike trip. You just listen to this.
No, but Sean, get us back on the rails. We're sorry.
I will. Sorry. I want to know what it was like. I know, it's so hard. I want to know what it was like. I mean, again, I say this all the time on the podcast. I grew up in Chicago with, you know, looking at Hollywood like this thing that was unachievable. So I came here with, so what was it like growing up? And I know you get asked this all the time, but I don't know the answer. Growing up around it, and then is, did you find that that's all you're talking about around the dinner table when your kids is the business? And how do you escape talking about other things? And, you know,
Jason, do you want to take this in tandem, so to speak?
It is. I was so curious to hear what your answer is going to be, because I've got my, What was it? It's better, right? It gives you even more stuff to talk about around the dinner table.
I think it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It is a double-edged sword, you know? I think in a way it's amazing because, speaking of my mom, like, you know, she taught me so much about all this stuff, you know, like, and how to find stuff that's good and what's good and when the dialogue's good. And then same, you know, when I was a kid, my dad would, I'd play around, I'd joke, I was performing like when I was real little, just joking around. And then he sort of would really encourage it and understood me in that performance stuff. So there was outside of the kind of idea of like the advice and stuff and watching their careers and then saying, oh, you could go this way or that way, you know, oh, don't do this, try that, which is a bit of a head start.
Yeah.
Well, how much of your own, because a lot of people grow up with, and we take on points of view. Sometimes our point of view is colored by our upbringing and our parents and what we were, you know.
But sometimes.
A lot of times. When you go into the same, but certainly when you go into the same thing that your parents did, Do you look back and go like, oh, I see the influence of my mom or my dad speaking to me when I look at a script, when I think about doing something, when I'm making a choice as an artist, if you will. Do you recognize that?
I try to, both good and bad, you know?
Yeah.
I really do. I try in as best as I can, you know, to I mean, what I do think is a lot of those things as we get to be a certain age become an unconscious thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You put them into experience and then you do things and you're lucky enough to make things and you keep doing it and then you try them out and then we get a tool belt and then we're using it and, you know, and so they are a mix of that. I can't differentiate anymore really from what I've learned from them and what I've learned from other people because I've been doing it from such a young age.
Yeah. Do they still give you input? Do they, when you work on something?
Yeah, particularly with writing and even, you know, in development of things and things like that. My sister wrote her first screenplay and wrote and directed it and to great success.
Yeah.
And then she just wrote another one and she's directing it. It's this amazing thing. So, and my mom is a big part of it, you know. You know, my sister sends me the script. She sends my mom the script. My mom and her will talk through things. You know, she's a real mentor.
Wow.
And that is a massive thing to have in your back pocket.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And
do you find like, I think naturally any child is always looking to impress their parents when they're tiny. And then as you grow older, you start to meet other adults, you become an adult yourself. Since you started with the entertainment industry and your parents were in it, do you find that they still occupy the major sort of North Star you kind of point your efforts towards and look for their approval and their review of things? Do you know what I mean? Like I certainly do. I'm still sort of a small boy kind of looking for dad's approval because that's where it all started there. He taught me how to act. He taught me how to direct. And I like that. I like that I'm not over that.
Aren't we all? I mean, yeah, in one way or another, definitely. I think also though, there's a sense of just for me now. Mm. You know, because there's all that stuff, like work is so, it becomes like a big thing, you know, with all of our families, you know, if our parents are working, like you hear about their work, right? It's just inevitable, right? Mm-hmm. The vocabulary becomes part of it. To me and my sister in particular and my family more and more, as all that stuff gets into your life and you're doing that, we tend to now try and just work on the family stuff, you know? Because just like, to me, that's what I've grown to care about most. You know, I, in the end, no matter what we all do and what we create, like it all comes down to them being there no matter what, right? They'll be there.
Yeah.
And do you have other siblings? Or is it just you and Maggie?
I have a little half brother. I mean, he's a half brother. He's also little. My dad had another child.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And so, but he's my half brother. He's my sister's half brother. But my sister and I, you know, grew up together, just fantastic.
Yeah. And then what about you and Maggie have had, I'm assuming, a very positive experience of being in this business, and you've been able to transition from child actor into adult actor and incredibly successful, both of you. Do you imagine that you would be supportive of your children going into this business? I get this question all the time.
How do you?
My answer is always, yeah. I mean, I can't be hypocritical. Mm-hmm. I've had a great experience, and it's been challenging, but it hasn't been detrimental or damaging. I would just make sure that I would condition my child or explain to my child what to look out for and what to not, and what it is and what it isn't, and just manage their expectations. And then after that, let them make their own decision. But I mean, at 10 years old, which I was, and I think you were right around the same age, can you really assess all of the pitfalls such that you make a good decision? I don't know.
I think I would, my parents did a very smart thing, which is they were like, you need to get an education. Yeah. You know, they were very early on. They were like, I was like, I just want to do this thing, you know?
Right.
And they were like, okay, cool, great. You can keep doing that, but you don't need to do it in like the deep end, right?
Yeah, or in lieu of, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, socializing, you know, was a huge thing, you know? Go be amongst kids, you know, who are tough on you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not just in an adult world.
Yeah, if you can balance it, if you can handle it, go for it, yeah.
Exactly.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
No, to me, like, that's what I would do, I think. You know, it's not a normal life, you know, in that way, you know. And so it's just important to get perspective, you know.
And I read that you, when you were a kid, you also used to volunteer at a homeless shelter and you celebrated your 13th birthday at one.
Wow.
Is that true?
My mother's Jewish, my father's Christian. They're not practicing very heavily, but they... And so they had a bit of a dilemma in my, you know, bar mitzvah moment, you know, quinceanera sort of situation. Uh-huh. They didn't know really how to celebrate.
Wait a second. You had a combo bar mitzvah quinceanera?
No.
At a homeless shelter? So you got a deal on the venue.
Basically.
a real deal.
Everybody showed up too. No, but it was, and so one of the things was they were like, you know, my father was very big and about passages, you know, like, and that's what it was. They agreed that there was like, there's a passage of time and you were walking through this space and these are the qualities that, you know, they wanted me to understand. And so they decided instead of something more formal, like we do all these different things. And one of them was, we went to a homeless shelter on my birthday and fed the homeless. Yeah.
Wow.
So it sounds like they started you out with just a great set of values, a decent or a great guide in which to sort of be a decent person. And you seem to have really held on to that. I mean, you know, you're just a really kind person and you've managed to acquire a great deal of success. Is it, you know, we're in such a permissive culture and atmosphere with what we do. Is it a constant, how much of a struggle is it for you to not take advantage of all the sort of latitude people like yourself are given on set, off of set? Do you know what I mean? Because it's, I don't know. Did they raise you well enough where it's not that much of a battle?
I mean, I'm obsessed with my work. I love my work, right? Mm-hmm. And I dig into characters that I do you know? And so that's sort of where to me, inside that, learning it has been, that's like learning how to be an actor is a different thing, right? Like, I don't think my parents were not actors, right?
Yeah.
So it's a completely different scenario.
They're teaching you how to be a good person, not a good actor. Yeah.
Read great plays, you know, try and perform them so you can understand
prepping
what great words are.
Prepping you for life in the arts as you
Yeah, kind of. I mean, for whatever I wanted, really, whatever I felt they were down for.
That's really cool.
I think like, you know, I think that's always the question, right? Like we grow up in it. And when we grow up in it, it's a different thing. There are people who come into the business and they're, you know, they've experienced life and they experience success at a different age. And it's very interesting to watch people experience success at different ages. And I was so grateful to experience it very early, but at the same time, it came with its own kind of growing up throughout
challenges.
The whole process.
Yeah.
Right?
You know, I just watched City Slickers the other night. I swear to God, I just watched it. And I was like, is that Jake Gyllenhaal? You were like five? How old were you in that?
I was 11.
And you can totally tell it's you. I never noticed that before. I was like, oh my God, Jake Gyllenhaal's in
City Slickers. Were you like Billy Crystal's son?
I was Billy Crystal's son.
No way, really. No,
and really, so Billy, weird. Like, yeah, he like found me. And he was like, there's something about this kid. Uh-huh. I mean, I have a poster that still says, he signed a poster for me, for City Slickers poster, and it says, thanks for letting me be in your first movie. Like, he literally wrote that.
No
way.
That's
cool.
It was so cool. It's the best poster ever. And wow. He is the fucking best. Like,
yeah,
he's
such a nice man.
Oh, such a nice man. And like, I worship him. Like, it's very
interesting. Who directed that? Was that?
Ron Underwood.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Underwood. Who's Ron Underwood? I don't know that guy.
He directed City Slickers.
And then I love this. Dude. You were cast in Mighty Ducks, but you couldn't take it, right? Or your parents didn't let you take it?
You know, like when people ask you guys, like, oh, did you got that part, but you didn't do that part? Right. Like, and then you're like, why am I? Someone else did it. It's theirs. This is weird. But, and that's a story that it's like,
we
yeah,
all have them,
I almost
all
did the part that I'm never going to do. And and someone else did right. better than me. So I don't, right. why are we doing? Right. But I auditioned for it. And my parents would let me audition for things. And mm-hmm. so like, without like being like, oh, sweet Jake, he wants to go audition for so cool. Mm-hmm. And then I like auditioned, and I like got it. Pretty yeah. much. And they were like, oh shit.
Right.
Yeah. You have to go to school. And I was like, no, I want to learn hockey, you know? Yeah, by the way, Will, we have a lot to talk about that because you should talk to my parents. I wanted to learn how to play hockey.
Oh, it's the best.
Where's your
oh,
hockey really? Passion now? Do you still have a hockey passion?
No, I wasn't allowed it. Yeah. I didn't do Mighty Ducks. But yeah, that was a thing.
But a lot of the times the you know, a lot of the role, like Jar had, God, you're so fucking good in that. And
she's so done so many great movies. So,
yeah.
So
and great. And all of these, you know, last year.
I just got to say, I wish you had done fucking Mighty Ducks. Sorry, I was just thinking what could have been.
I messed up.
But these roles in these big, huge movies that just seem to me, I could never do the things you do. They just seem like colossal undertakings as an actor. And the physicality that you take on is just remarkable. Like we were talking about at the beginning.
You're brilliant, Sean.
Thank you. So, I was waiting for that. We got it.
But,
he said it.
But
he
we
said
do
it.
Prefer a nice sitcom routine. You know, it's 6 hours a day.
Yeah. You and I have sung together, by the way. That's the
I know.
I mean.
Wait, really? Where'd you guys sing?
Where?
We sang
a whole
at the
new
Tony's,
world.
A Whole New World. Yeah.
No
yeah.
way.
We yeah. It what? Was an arranged marriage, wasn't it?
You have theater stories?
God, if you have a theater story right
Jake,
now,
my
Jake,
favorite thing is medical stories and theater stories.
Do you gotta say I listen to you guys, and I just want to say that like I have a great losing a contact story, and
here we
I was
go.
Like, oh, what the fuck? That was my when I'm on that. That was my fucking story.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean, get Scotty in here.
Shit. Like, yeah. I thought. Yeah. Oh, no. That's my right. part. She stole my part. You know.
We'll be right back.
Hey, smartless listener, we get support from Helix. You didn't see that coming. Oh, we got the Helix mattresses over here at the homestead, and everybody sleeps better for it. And we've been doing it for a few years now. And I had some sleeps that weren't great for a few years, and then the folks at Helix got involved with the show early. They were early in on the smartless party, and as a result of that, we took the test, all of us, and I got the mattress that was great for me, and I'll tell you about that in a second, but I can tell you this, I love the Helix mattresses. Everybody in the fam is resting their heads on them. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. They got a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids. And if your spin needs some extra TLC, they got you. Because every Helix mattress has a hybrid design, combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It's a perfect combination of comfort and support. So, I mentioned before, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Well, their team created a Helix sleep quiz to help you find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. You gotta have 2 minutes. And your mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. They're not going to just throw it at your door. They're going to, trust me, they know what they're doing. They don't drive by in a truck and just launch the mattress at your house. It's a whole system. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listener. Go to helixsleep.com/smartless and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. HelixSleep.com/smartless. Code HelixPartner20. With Helix, better sleep starts now. Thank you to Nutrafol for supporting our show. A lot of us have a similar routine. We wake up tired. We probably scroll too long again, and we grab something to eat as we rush out the door. It does the trick, but it's not the nutritious breakfast that our bodies deserve. We get to work and the to-do list, oh wait, the phone rings, your kid is sick and needs to be picked up early from school. It's insanity. We all just have so much going on and we don't even think about all these things that could be impacting our hair health. Your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that. It could be your job, your deodorant, your hormones, or even your sushi order. It could be almost anything that has almost nothing to do with hair. That's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle. With Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. Purchase online, no prescription or doctor's visits required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure you'll never miss a day and see results in 3 to 6 months. Address your root causes of hair thinning with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listener $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code SMARTLESS. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code SMARTLESS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SMARTLESS.
Smartless listener, let me tell you about the Defender 110. For those who embrace the impossible, the Defender 110 is up for the adventure. This iconic vehicle's exterior and interior has been redefined with a thoroughly modern design. The Defender's capability is legendary. Whether you're facing off-road challenges or harsh weather conditions, you can rely on their innovative camera technologies to deliver unobstructed views and effortless maneuvering. Plus, their powerful innovations like the intuitive driver display and award-winning infotainment system make sure you stay connected. I always imagine myself driving in one, pulling up to some event, and people going, hey, look at that guy. Look at that car. He sure looks sleek. He sure looks like he knows what he's doing. Well, my response to that would be like, the car knows what they're doing. I don't. Ready for a wide range of adventures, the Defender family features the two-door Defender 90, the Defender 110, and the Defender 130, which seats up to 8. Learn more at LandRoverUSA.com/Defender.
Your last day of vacation and you found time for a deep tissue massage followed by a long mud bath, then a 2-hour nap. Because you're an American Express Platinum Card member and booked your stay at a fine hotel and resort through Amex Travel, which means a 4 p.m. checkout. And those relaxing vacation vibes can keep going at the airport in the Centurion Lounge.
Just a splash.
Before you board the plane, back to reality. That's the powerful backing of American Express. See how to elevate your travel experiences at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Terms apply.
And now back to the show.
So there you are. You're on stage. What happened?
I'm on stage. And so I did this show with Ruth Wilson called Constellations, which is this amazing show, two-hander. It's 75 scenes in 90 minutes. Basically, like, and the changes of scenes, it's about a couple, and it's a bit like Sliding Doors-ish, but it's about, they're basically 5 scenes that happen over a couple's relationship. And within the 5 scenes, they're like 8 scenes of the different potential things that could happen, right? So first they meet, and then one of them's not into the other, and the other one is, and then boom, the lights change, and then the other one who wasn't into the other is into the other, you know, it switches, then they're both into each other, the next one, then neither of them are into each other. And then it moves forward, right? And so subsequently, actually, there gets to him asking her to marry him. And I had in tech, you know, like...
The final rehearsals, right?
The final rehearsals.
For Tracy, yeah, it's the final rehearsals.
I had said, basically, like, okay, we had one prop in the whole show. It's just two people on stage. We never left this platform, right? It was 90 minutes, never left. There was one prop. And the prop was a ring in my pocket that I kept. And he had to prep all stuff. And I said to the stage manager, I said, can I just put some contact lenses under the stage in the back? Because I'm legally blind without contact lenses. I am legally blind. Wow. Like I can't like function.
Your contacts in right now?
No, but you guys look great.
I would be deeply offended if we were making love right now and I found out you didn't have your contacts in.
He didn't even bother.
Okay.
He didn't even bother putting his fucking contact lenses for us. Yeah. He's like,
it at the same time, I had gotten into a little thing with Ruth early on because my brother-in-law, who's an amazing actor, by the way, he came to see me in previews and he gave me notes and he gave me two notes. One note was, he was like, still, there's power in stillness. Mm-hmm. Cause I think I was moving around a lot and trying to get a lot of attention. And the next note was, don't let her upstage you, is what he said.
Yeah, she kept walking upstage, huh?
No, I mean, I think he actually meant like, she's just a better actor than you. Oh. So just try harder and figure it out because she is a better actor than me. So like, I learned that over the course of the run.
Because Tracy, if an actor walks upstage, it forces you to turn your back to the audience to talk to that person. And now the audience can't see your face. They can only see the person upstage's face.
She's just magical. Like, she's just the type of actor that, like, I'd always talk about this, like when Saturday nights, you know, it's like, the energy is so much more intense.
Yeah.
And Saturday nights, like, she would ride that energy like a wave. And I'd be like, oh, it's so intense. You know, like, yeah. And she'd be like, see ya. You know, and they'd be like, the roof is incredible. You know, so he was like, just don't, try not to let her do that. Like, try and surf. Don't be afraid, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we had gotten into a thing where, like, I was like, I was like, I feel like you're upstaging me. She was like, oh, I'm not. I'm just like, you know, the actor bullshit. She's like, I'm not. What are you talking about? And I'm like, but like, can we just try and stay on the same line? Like, you know, like, because this is about us, you know? And it was like, hold. So anyway, the light changes, by the way, these big pops in the show. So you have about like a second and a quarter to kind of change, right? And at the same time that it's very hard to explain because I would put my hand in my pocket in the scene before I'm supposed to ask her to marry me because I pull out the ring and no one's seen a prop. And so they go, oh, how'd you get that ring, right?
Right.
But I put my hands in my pockets and the ring was not in my pockets.
Jake. Okay.
So I was like, it's the only prop. By the way, in tech, they were like, I was like, what if we, okay, I have contact lenses up there, but what if like I don't have the prop? They're like, dude, this is Broadway. We have a prop master who usually deals with 1,000 props. He has one prop. Okay, so don't worry.
Yeah.
You're going to have your prop. Right. Okay? Don't worry. And I was like, I know, but like, if, like, they're like, just, and I was like, can I just please? They're like, crazy, sure. And they put it there.
Yeah.
So I rub my eye, contact lens falls out.
Mm-mm.
In the scene. I put my hand into my pocket. I can't find the fucking ring.
No.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can't see anything. And then then I start to move upstage because I remember there's a contact lens in there. And the ring is over there. Uh-huh. And Ruth starts looking at me like, oh, you motherfucker, I know what you're doing. You're going upstage. You asshole. You know? I was like, no, I can't see anything. Like, inside, I'm trying to communicate.
Right. And she thinks you're just winking at her constantly.
Yeah, I know what's up. And then as soon as I, like, boom, lights pop, I run over, grab the contact lenses, grab the thing, and I put the contact lens in my eye because I can do it since I've been putting contact lenses in my eye since I was a kid, like really, really young.
Yeah.
And then she was like, oh my God. Like, she realized in the moment.
That it was. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Uh-huh. I used to do this thing in Promises. There's this guy, his name's, thank you so much.
Oh, by the way, beautiful. Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah.
His name's Ryan, and we would give each other horrible, horrible shit, like right before we'd enter the stage. It's kind of like the three of us do, just like scathing, right? And he's like, and he goes, I'm actually dead serious. Before tonight, can you make sure that during this one dance sequence, you, because you're blocking me just ever so. I go, Ryan, I'm going to stop you. I never look behind me on stage.
What a sweetheart. Now, Jake, anyway. If you're not acting, if you're not, exercising, being physical. What else are you doing to fill
nothing.
Your time? What
I don't
is
do
what,
anything.
You don't have any? Like, are you a reader?
Nothing.
Are you a TV watcher? Are you a painter?
Sports,
do you love to knit? You know, what? Like, what
now,
are
speaking
you, are
of knitting, I'm going to get my mom in here in a second because she's mad that you guys still haven't sent her a picture of the fucking sweaters.
I did. Would you tell her to check her junk file?
I collect shoehorns, actually, which is
what,
dude?
Yeah,
Will,
that's a big pastime.
By the way,
oh my god, made in Sweden! Oh my god, so am I!
Made in Sweden!
Oh my god! Oh my god! This
you
is
have,
coming
you have
full
no,
circle.
You have no odd hobby
cook
or
a lot. I cook yeah. a lot. I cook majorly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I want to talk about cooking. I didn't know you cook.
Yeah.
Jason
but
doesn't.
You're not cooking fatty shit. You're good at cooking like veggie stuff or macrobiotic or something. I mean,
I cook everything. I love to cook. I love to shop for food.
So then you eat what you want. You just make sure that you exercise a lot.
No, I mean, no. I've actually, you know, I've tried all different things. I'm down with intermittent fasting. I really like that as an idea because. Yeah. I tend to go like, I'm going to just overeat, you know?
Right,
so instead I just go, we're just not going to eat today for a while.
It's all or nothing.
Are you sweet tooth or salty? What's your...
I think I'm a sweet tooth. Yeah. I'm a cake.
Too.
I like
I
cake.
Massive
yeah.
sweet tooth.
I love cake.
I got it.
Really, yeah. I'm a pie guy.
Do you guys know Yossi Areffi, by the way?
No.
Her cookbooks?
Uh-uh.
She has this book called, I'm like, this is a shameless plug on
Great.
Her book, but it is incredible.
Yeah.
It's called Snacking Cakes. Yeah. And there's also this lemon cake that she makes that has pieces, that the recipe has pieces of the lemon in it. Right. So it's like, I don't know if you like a lemon cake.
Love.
I do. I don't want to eat a piece of lemon though.
No. Like you chop, it's small, it's in little pieces, but okay. you get like this sort of burst
rind.
Of citrus, so to speak.
A little zest.
And like, you really do. No, it's like the, like
I'd
I'm a
that.
Sucker for glazes like
oh, yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Like,
well, would you be into that, Sean?
Yeah.
You think you might be into a cake?
Shit? I love like a lemon pound cake.
Garbage can.
No, I love that though. I got an ice cream maker for Christmas,
huh.
and I like
baking. Well, you wanted to cut out the middleman. It was too much with the fucking...
Tired of driving to the ice cream shop.
Get out of the store. Just fucking,
I'd rather
just make
cry
it here.
And make it while I cry, you know? Like, I just...
By this time next year, he's going to figure out how to make ice cream in his mouth.
Yeah. Okay, wait a minute. I want to talk about Roadhouse because it comes out March 21st. I'm Prime,
fuck.
Which is really exciting. Yeah. Wait, were you nervous to remake such a classic film? Because, you know, Patrick Swayze, we all love Patrick Swayze. I'm sure you're going to kill it, but were you nervous?
I mean, I knew Patrick Swayze was in Donnie Darko, this film that
oh,
I did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. He's
dude,
like
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko.
Can I just say before you get
yeah.
Nightcrawler? I don't know why. It just occurred to me. I just remembered how much I fucking love that movie, dude.
Yeah. All your movies.
He was so great. It was such a good movie. So good.
Didn't Bob Elswit shoot that?
He did. Yeah.
He's a buddy of yours. The one time I've ever been in a room with him was at your house at a birthday party that you had, and I saw him walking around. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Dude.
He's a cinematographer, everybody, and he's a god.
That movie's a fucking masterpiece. So anyway, so
I love
doing
the movie too. But Roadhouse.
So you worked with Swayze.
We worked with Swayze
in
Donnie Darko. And he was just the sweetest, most generous, kindest man. I was like, when we worked together, and I Point Break was a movie that I watched maybe I've watched that movie more than any movie I've ever watched, if I'm honest. Because I racked in so many hours from 9 years old to like admittedly 43. That I just love that movie. So I you know, and I love a lot of his movies. And Roadhouse, I remember these faint memories of the poster, and I don't know where I remember seeing it. And then I also remember watching clips of it, or it was on TV, and being like, what is this? Like, it's like ingrained in my unconscious, this movie. And so like Doug Liman, who's a good friend of mine, we've been friends for 20 years.
Brilliant,
right, director.
Brilliant.
And he was like, we've been trying to find a movie for a long time to do together. And he was like, we were talking one night because we were talking about one other movie that he had sent me. We were talking about it. Oh, man, that's interesting. And then he's like, you know, I do have this other idea. They just sent me this script of Roadhouse. It's like a reimagining of it. And I was like, I'm fucking in. He said, it was like the, whoever saw those clips, whoever, it just came out of me. Like, I'm in.
Wow.
And so,
I mean, you filmed an actual fight with a live audience?
I went to the UFC to film. Yeah, we went to the UFC and I filmed in the Octagon.
What?
It was
crazy. Christ.
Yeah, it was so fun. It was so incredible. It was incredible they let us film there. The UFC was amazing. We, like, it was nuts. I was, like, high from it for 4 days after.
Would you say that you got into the best sort of cardiovascular shape you've ever been in through grappling? Because, like, you think you're in shape until you start wrestling with someone. Like, it's, like, it's crazy how tired you get, right?
Try wrestling with Conor McGregor.
I was just going to say, I can't believe. Is this his first acting gig?
Yeah. It is. Yeah, it's his first acting. I mean, It depends on how much you consider the performance pre-fight. But yes, this is his first acting gig professionally.
Wow, that's pretty wild.
How was that process shooting in front of those crowds? I got to say, like, that mixed martial arts makes me nervous sometimes. Not just the crowds. It's a little...
Yeah, they want blood.
It's very dangerous.
Yeah, it's like the Colosseum back in the old days.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of Colosseum, but it's just like, it always makes me nervous. Like, because there's bloodlust, right? Like you, people are out there to really
literally.
No, you get on the canvas, and like, you know, we were right before, you know, the main cards,
one of the prelims,
right? Yeah, so it was like post prelims. It was pre pay per view. That we were told we were going to get 45 seconds or 7 minutes. We didn't know because depending on how the earlier fights went, if they went all the way, if they finished in the first 30 seconds, like that would accumulate our time, right? So they wouldn't guarantee us anything. So, but by the time we got there, there had been some really, really intense fights.
Blood on the
and
mat.
I walked up onto the canvas and there was just so much blood on the mat.
Are you kidding me?
No, there's just blood
they
all
don't
over
clean
canvas.
It?
Yeah. No, it's canvas.
Did you, could you wear slippers during the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I wore. feed condoms. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There we go.
It's really. It's actually.
Bateman. Fuck. Bateman's gonna go wash his hands. Just to show
one,
you that.
One of the things they don't tell you about, Jason, is that, you know, in grappling in particular and mixed martial arts, you know, staff is like a big thing, and so because like they're just everybody's grappling on these mats, right? And actually, when we were shooting Roadhouse, yeah. I got staff. Yeah, when we were shooting, and my arm like blew up, and I was like, "What is this?" I didn't know what it was. And here we go, Sean. Here's a medical story.
Yeah, I love it.
And I thought it was because there's a big final fight between me and Conor McGregor in it. And Conor is amazing. I mean, he's amazing. Yeah. And he coached me through a lot of our fights, right? Mm-hmm. He came in, he was like, I'm a white belt in this movie world, acting world. I'm here to learn from you.
Uh-huh.
I was like, it was such humility. I said, well, I'm obviously less than a white belt in your world. So like, you tell me what you need me to do. Yeah. Yeah. No, every time we'd have to say to Conor, like, they'd be like, we're rolling. Okay, marker. And then it'd be like, I'd have to say, remember, even 2 months into shooting, remember, don't hit me in the face. Like, remember that.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh yeah, oh yeah, right. It was that every time before every take. Yeah.
Wow.
Moneymaker.
Oh,
now, so was the crowd aware that you guys were shooting a movie and were told to like just kind of cheer this fight on like you would?
No, not all of them, because some people were like, well, what they started to do is they picked up on us filming and then they realized that there was like kind of a good guy and a bad guy in the fight. Mm-hmm. And then they started cheering when, like, I would throw a punch and they'd be like, yeah! And then it was like 15,000 people.
Oh, nice.
Cheering for this thing.
And that was accurate for the story? Like, you were the good guy?
They had no idea. Yeah. They had no idea.
Wow.
Where was it?
We were in Vegas. It was 285.
Yeah. Wow.
I was supposed to do 283. And then I got, the night before, got COVID. And we had the whole crew ready to go. And so we had
What's 285?
The number of fights.
Oh, wow. Wow. Did you get hurt at all?
During the filming?
Yeah.
The staff infection.
Yeah.
Right?
All the time. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean.
The staff infection in the end, I didn't know it was staff infection. And I woke up and I was like, my elbow feels weird. I thought it was just because I had grabbed Conor like 30 times in this one moment.
Wow.
And I thought, oh, he was just throwing this arm down on me. And I was grabbing it so hard that I thought it just hurt my elbow. So I woke up in the middle of the night and I couldn't touch my elbow to the bed sheet. And I was like,
Jake, you're so lucky you didn't get hurt. I mean,
I know,
fucking pop out, you know?
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, Sean, you said one time at work, right? Didn't you say that you sprained your ankle when you come out for curtain call on Will and Grace?
By the way, sprained ankle is a real pain in the ass. It is.
That's the worst.
You tripped on Shimada's camera as you were coming out.
Wait, Jake, you don't have to take those roles.
Yeah, you don't have to take like, those roles. Why don't you get a nice sitcom? I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what is the draw? Why do you, what is the wish?
What's the matter
like,
the
with
death
you? Wish? I would love to do a sitcom. No one thinks I'm funny. I would love to do a sitcom. Everyone's like, so serious. This guy's so serious. He takes it so seriously.
No,
he like
no.
does all this stuff. Like, you know, I would love to do that. I'm doing this because this is what I got, guys.
No other options. Nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
No, I love that, like, I love the
well,
idea.
You're great at it.
Yeah, well, you're so brilliant, you could do anything. You could just play anything.
They came to me about Roadhouse, too, by the way.
Uh-oh.
I didn't want to say anything because we were talking about roles we didn't do. It was different. It was more about eating.
Don't even try Roadhouse, too. If I knew that you would have been in that movie, we would have had you in that
movie. I was up for Roadkill. But anyway, Jake, this is... wonderful that you. We took up way too much of your time. You're so sweet to come by.
You're very nice.
Oh, yeah, guys, I'm with us. So excited to be here. I'm like, I am. I love your show. I am such a huge fan. I obviously like adore you all from afar and like
likewise,
close
likewise.
Up.
You too,
I invite you places you don't come. Will, I've literally invited you now. So if you don't come, you know, then you're the same.
I'm coming with the e-bike option attached to my heart. Are you kidding me? I'm fucking stoked.
And Jake, you'll come over. I'll make ice cream and we'll sing.
Yes. By the way, can we please do that?
Yeah, I'd love to watch that.
Please, Sean. Yes, really?
I would totally love to do that.
Okay.
Jake, thank you.
All right, I love you, Jake.
Thanks,
Hall.
Guys. Yes. Love
thanks,
you guys.
Dude.
Bye, pal.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
That was nice to revisit with my old friend.
I love him so much.
She should have been good. My guest. It's so weird how that always works on our show, right? It's like oftentimes the person who knows the guest the best usually is not the host.
That's right.
And it's odd how that works. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Did you know him, Will, before?
Not really. We've hung out once or twice, just briefly, and such a nice guy.
He's
but I don't really know him. And I knew I'm just doing this because I like all the different apps. I knew.
It's a computer, Jason. It's not going to work.
Oh, really? It's got to be a phone? Yeah. You're on the phone, Will?
No, I'm on my computer.
Oh. Wait, what? It doesn't work.
I got an update. You didn't update your computer, obviously.
He's so nice.
I didn't know, JB, I didn't know that you guys knew each other that way.
We hung out for a bit there. We got into sort of that bike riding routine for a while, and then he got a job or I got a job, and we just drifted and never got back on the bike. But he is, he is a very, very normal guy. And I think he's gotten younger since I saw him last.
Yeah, no, he looks super young.
He looks amazing.
Yeah, how old do we think he is?
I would have a good time hanging out with him.
Well, cool it.
He's 43, I'd say.
Is he? Oh, wait, he said that, didn't he?
He said 43, yeah.
He is already our junior.
I mean, can you believe all he's accomplished in 43 years? It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
He's made so many movies.
Yeah.
Well, when he goes, he just goes like, when I did Donnie Darko, and you're like, oh, yeah, Donnie Darko, which is a fucking great movie.
Yeah, fantastic.
That he just, to be able to throw out like, I remember doing
Zodiac.
Amazing.
You know?
Yeah.
And then,
Zodiac.
Yeah.
And then fucking Nightcrawler is incredible. If you haven't seen it.
Yeah, what have we done with our lives? We're just
fucking
sitting here.
Trash.
Just fucking eating
fucking
cake.
Shit.
I know. I'm back at home. I've gone full circle. My mom's about to give me shit about the holes in my jeans or something. You know what I mean?
Speaking of going full circle, remember the very beginning of this podcast today? We were talking about Sean's biceps.
Bye. We used that one last
time. Two in a row with biceps. We did biceps last month.
No, they're not going to order in that row.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Bennett Barbaco, Michael Grant Terry, and Rob Armjarf.
Smartless.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hey, listener, it's Sean Hayes. Do you know when Crystal Pepsi was discontinued or what was in Al Capone's vault? If not, then you haven't spent enough time on Wikipedia. But that's okay, because you can learn all about it on the new podcast, WikiHole, from all of us here at Smartless Media. Discover the craziest rabbit holes on Wikipedia with host Darcy Carden and her favorite comedian friends as they bring the cyber frontier directly to your tympanic membrane. And if you listen to WikiHole, you'd learn that's the sciencey term for eardrum. WikiHole is the wild, wild west of Wikipedia. Starting out on one Wikipedia page, they go from link to link to link to link, careening through trivia, oddities, and unexpected connections until everyone wonders, how the hell did we get here? Follow WikiHole on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to WikiHole ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.